Hello, my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. It's such a joy to once again be with you on the Gospel for the Glory of Jesus with my good friend and fellow worshiper, Melvin Slade, who's doing a tremendous job promoting Jesus on KRAJ 100.9 FM. And I want him to know that all of us, especially his listening audience, appreciate him and the program that encourages us to keep moving on in the things of Christ. Growing up, my father, Dr. Hillary T. Broaddus, who in glory, and my mother, Mother Rosa L. Broaddus, who is also in glory, they brought us up in the church. And one of the songs that I remember so vividly singing as a child and on into adulthood, the song says, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see." And now that I've grown older, I can understand that second part that declares, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Thus grace, 'twas grace that brought me, saved thus far, and grace will lead me on." I'm thinking about that grace, that amazing grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Man, I tell you, as I focus my attention on what I call the amazingness of God's grace, there are four things that I want us to consider as we think about God's amazing grace. What it is, what it does, what it won't let you do, and what it costs. What it is, this grace. What is it about this thing called grace that makes it so amazing? Well, first let us discover what it is. Grace is favor or kindness shown without regard to the worth or merit of the one who receives it, and in spite of what that same person deserves. Grace is one of the key attributes of God. The Lord God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. According to Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, it says, "The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, 'Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness.'" Amen, somebody. Therefore, my beloved, grace is almost always associated with mercy, love, compassion, and patience as the source of help and with deliverance from distress. Grace, my beloved, is the love and mercy of God in action. Mercy is negative, but love is positive. If you put love and mercy together, you have grace. To show mercy in love is grace. The grace of God is unmerited favor. The grace of God is nothing less than the unlimited love of God expressed, hallelujah, in the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. It is the undeserved love toward sinners. Grace is having it given to you when you and the giver know you don't deserve it. It is what I call an unearned blessing. Grace is what Jesus Christ gave to us when He became the propitiation or the covering of our sins. John chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Bible says that John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came," hallelujah, "through Jesus Christ." Let me say that again, my beloved. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. In other words, grace is that which only Jesus can provide the sinner. So, my beloved, what it is what God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, has given the sinner man. That's what it is. Now, what it does, what is it that grace accomplishes? Now that we know what grace is, it is important to find out what grace does. Grace is amazing, not only because of what it is also amazing because of what it does. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. "And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, of whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But," look at this, listen to this, "but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ," hallelujah, "by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." Oh, thank God. That is what amazing grace does. It saves us from eternal damnation. God's grace, my beloved, does not offer temporary salvation. No, no, grace is amazing because it provides the believer with permanent salvation. When you come to Christ, you can rest assured that His grace is sufficient to sustain you. And nothing, no, nothing will be able to separate you from His holy and divine care. I know you've read Romans chapter 8, verse 35, when the great apostle asked the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, listen to what he says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then the Apostle Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah, somebody. God's grace, hey, is amazing because it is unconditional. Did you hear me? God's grace is amazing because it is unconditional. That is, we are not saved on the condition that we hold out to the end, or that we fail not, or that we do our best. No, we are saved by grace apart from works. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 and 7 said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hallelujah, somebody. And let me tell you what it won't let you do. Let me tell you what grace won't let you do. This grace is amazing because if you accept this grace, there is something that this grace will not let you do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Grace, my beloved, is amazing because it won't let you go out and get a job to pay for it. It's amazing because it won't let you have earning rights. God's amazing grace would not allow you the right to boast and say, I got it my way. His grace can only be received by faith and not by works. You cannot obtain this grace if you don't have faith. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For
For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I want all my brothers and sisters to come to know the amazing grace of God. I want you to know Jesus as your personal Savior. I want you to know the joy of salvation. But no matter how I may want you to know the joy of being saved, the joy of knowing your eternal destiny, if you refuse to have faith in God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, then the amazing grace of God will not be part of your life. And the last thing I want to say is to answer the question, how much does this grace cost? Well, we know what grace is. We know what grace can do. We have discovered what grace won't let us do. And we need to know how expensive this grace is. Well, first, let me tell you the bad news. You can't afford this grace. It is beyond your financial reach. You can't make enough money to buy it. You don't have enough resources to make a down payment on it. But now let me tell you the good news. The cost of this grace has already been paid over 2,000 years ago on an ancient hill called Calvary. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, gave his life that we might have eternal life with the Father. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So here is the good news. This grace is free. It is amazing because it costs God everything. It costs us nothing. All we have to do is receive it from the Lord. This grace is free. And when you accept this grace, you will discover that the grace of God is sufficient. It's sufficient for all the things that you need. Hallelujah, somebody. Paul said, God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul said, I would gladly rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So I came by to tell you today, as the Apostle Paul says, that when I am weak, then I am strong. I know all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but thank God for his grace. I invite you today to take advantage of his grace. Oh, his grace will pick you up, my beloved. His grace will turn you around. His grace will set you on a solid ground. Thank you for being part of this broadcast today. Come worship with us at the Calvary Baptist Church of Pacoima, 12928 Vaughn Street, San Fernando, California, 91340, where myself and my lovely wife, Prophetess Gloria Broaddus, leads a wonderful congregation, and we would love for you to come and join us and be part of what God is doing through his work at Calvary. God bless you, and God keep you.